city. We thank you, Lord God, for the goodness that you bring each day in our lives through all of the people, all of the things that's happening. We give you praise, Father, for in advance for what's going to happen this morning. Thank you for the great healer, the great mighty one, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, Father. He's quickening up our bodies, changing our minds, changing the chemistry in our lives, in our physical bodies to make healing, Lord God, a fact in this reality. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to wake myself up. Well, thank you so much for all those hand claps. And well, you got your Bibles out? I don't know exactly where we're going to be or where we're going to end up, but we'll end up in a good place. We had a wonderful trip. Just to let you know, thank you for praying for us. And we missed that big storm. We got into town with the big storm. And someone told me when I arrived to Calgary a few days later, they said, you should change one of your ministries to Roma Rups. You know what that means? United Parcel Service? So I delivered a parcel to somebody over there from this church to Calgary. So I have a new ministry. It's going to be delivering packages. So next time you need to deliver something, I'll do it. Praise God. Amen. But it'll be a great fee to it. Amen. All right. And we had a wonderful time. We went to see Pastor Deberson, Pastor Scott and Yvette. So they were one of our few first assistants here. And, you know, they were with us for a few years. They went off to missions in Quebec. They started a church in Quebec. And they started one there. Then they moved to Calgary, started another church there. And they're now in the Edmonton area. And they've took over work there. So we had a great time with them. We stayed with them for 5 days. I'm sure they're happy that we left, that we were able to, you know, it's nice to have visitors, but I think you rejoice when they leave too. At the same time, there's a mixed feeling, you know, you like, want to see somebody, you like them, but you're sleeping on your couch, eating your food, using up all your toilet paper. Amen. So all that, but we had a great time with them. Spoke at their church. We got a wonderful church there, and we went up to Red Deer and saw Pastor Ken's twin, Barry. We had a great time with Barry. Barry Miracle. Barry's the best Chuck. There is a Barry Miracle. Why are you guys looking at me like that? You look like you're mad or some of you. What's going on? Anyway, and then we went to Calgary, Word of Faith Church, and we ministered there. It was a great storm there. They were going to cancel out on me. I said, no, we're not going to. I have to deliver a package. I can't go back with this package. And so I used my faith. And there was no snow, and it's colder in Edmonton. Everybody say, thank God. But there's snow in Geraldton, I heard. There was some snow the other day. Yeah. But I think we have the lake effect. We do get lots of snow. But then again, we do sometimes don't get the snow because of the kind of the moisture, we get the rain. So we went to different places, and I try to keep people up on my visits, and I take pictures of different strange things, being strange people. We went to visit Kenora, Ontario as well, visit some friends, and ate some chips. There's a very famous chip stand. If you ever go to, how many been there, a chip stand right in Kenora? If you ever go to Kenora, stop by the chip stand and get some chips. If you like really good French fries, and how many like French fries? This is three people. But anyway, I had my fill of the French fries and gave Anita just two or three of them. And she lost weight. I didn't. But I wore a bigger shirt this morning. And so anyway, everything's good. Oh, what should we do? Let's stand up one more time and give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and give God. Lift your hands towards heaven. Thank God from your heart. Thank Him. You're alive. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you. Oh, He's lovely, isn't He? He give us new life. Give Him praise from your heart. Express your love for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, Jesus. We appreciate everything you give us. Everything we are, everything we have, it's from you, Lord. You created all things to glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord, so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. Hallelujah. If you're a preacher, that's what you do when you don't know what to do. Hi, Robbie. How are you? Good to see you, man. I love Robbie. I was thinking about Robbie's. I was telling somebody, I think it was, we talked about my wife and Robbie. I think a few years ago, he wanted to move away. I said, Robbie, there's work for you here. You can't go. And there's stuff that, wonderful things that God wants in your life. And I appreciate you and your wife for being so obedient to the Lord, in spite of all the ruckus that's happened in your lives. And you know, you can't go. How many people understand that if you're going to serve God, you will run into trouble? Amen. Amen. Sometimes you run into trouble because you did it yourself. And you blame the devil. Or you blame somebody else. Yeah, but sometimes when you follow God, you will run into opposition. You know the scripture that says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Well, resisting, because you're going into a place sometimes where the devil doesn't want you to go, and so he'll put pressure on you. That's why, First James chapter there talks about when you come up to diverse temptations, tests and trials, count it all joy. Consider it joy. Consider it an opportunity to give God praise. And, we consider it joy because knowing this, verse 2 says, knowing this, or the third chapter, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying or the trial of your faith work at endurance or patience. You know, we suffer sometimes to obey God. Amen? You suffer to obey God. You suffer, say no to your flesh. And that's not easy all the time to say no to your flesh, because you want to do what you want to do. And so our flesh is not born again. How many people know your flesh is not born again? This is not born again. It'll always want to do what it did before you got saved. It'll still want to go and do pornography. It'll still want to go and gamble. It'll still want to smoke, drink. It still wants to get upset. Amen? And so you suffer. You have to suffer sometimes to say no to your flesh. And so we have to say no to our flesh. So today, we're saying yes to Jesus. We've been, every time I teach, I always ask the Lord, what should we teach? And sometimes God gives you a theme. He gives you a certain kind of way to teach for a long time, maybe 3 weeks or 2 weeks or a month. And He gives you certain kinds of teaching. And if you do it long enough, you understand how God works with you. And so we've been talking about prayer here and how important prayer is. And so every Tuesday, I want to invite you, if you're in town, to come to the prayer room and learn how to pray. You say, I already know how to pray. Well, you can learn some more. I said, you can learn some more. I said one more time, you can learn some more. And so we can always learn. So I'm learning all the time. The Lord asked me to teach prayer. You know, in the 90s, the Lord said, teach prayer. And I didn't know how to pray myself. You know, he said, well, I know how to use the name of Jesus. I just ask every prayer. I put the name of Jesus at the end, you know. And, you know, you start with Jesus, and you end with Jesus. And you start with Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in your presence in the name of Jesus. Then you say, Father, I seal this in the name of Jesus. You come to the Father in the name of Jesus. You don't pray to Jesus. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father. That's what Jesus told us. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Everybody say, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And you don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You know, you say, Holy Spirit, you know, you talk to Holy Spirit, but you don't pray to Him. And He glorifies Jesus. So we need to understand these things. And so if we want to get our prayers answered, we have to do it the right way. There's one way to cook certain foods that taste good. Hello, our world traveler from Italy. Did you go to Italy? Yeah? Shame on you, you didn't take us. No, you had a great time. You deserve it. You went to school, graduated, got a job, working full time. Now you're, wow, a world traveler. That's wonderful, eh? But you left your sister at home in the snow. I appreciate these girls. I'm so proud of both of you and still in church all those years coming. Let's give them a hand, man, I tell you. Mom and dad must be doing wonderful. You know, some parents, they don't have to do anything. Their kids just go. Some parents do everything for their kids. They still don't go. but you know, you guys, I'm thankful for you for showing up. And you know, I'm so proud to be your pastor because I always talk about these two girls in our church, you know. I've seen you guys since you were little kids. I mean, especially you. I think, what, you maybe were two or something? Coming to church, cute little girl. But now she's a grown woman with a career. And hungry for a man. Looking for a man. I'm just kidding. No, anyway. Listen, she's not ready. Okay, so she'll find the right one at the right time. Amen. Let's all turn to our Bibles, please. Today is Thanksgiving. Or tomorrow, Monday, is Thanksgiving, but today here in church, it's Thanksgiving Sunday. And so there are things to be thankful for. And I want us to, you know, for what I'm doing and what God put in my heart, is teach people how to pray lately and to stick with that. We'll talk about the prayer of Thanksgiving. And we're going to mix it up a little bit and see what we come out with. And so, our title is Praising or Praised. Or at least praising God always, if you want to say, praising always, learning how to praise always. And we're talking about kinds of prayer. And we want to say about the prayer of thanksgiving is the highest kind of prayer you can ever, or highest kind of faith you can ever, express. Because faith, it needs expression. Let me just say this again, because I think it's not clear enough. Praise is the highest kind of faith. Why is that? Because you praise God in advance for something you don't have yet. It's a high kind of faith, because if you're praying for your healing, and you're not healed, you haven't been healed for a long time, maybe you've been sick for 40 years. You know, or 25 years, or you haven't had your answer yet, but you're still thanking God, you're believing God for His manifestation is coming. It takes tenacity to stand and to give God thanks and to be grateful and not get sour if your answer doesn't come. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always, now look at this, it says, praying always with all prayer. The Amplified says all kinds of prayer. All kinds of prayer. So when we talk about prayer, there's more than one kind of, you know, prayer. There's more than one way to do prayer. And so let's just think about this for a second. Prayer, you know, when we talk about the definition of prayer, or what is prayer, we talk about prayer as this. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with God. It means that God, you talk to God, you ask God questions, and God talks to you. You listen to God, God speaks to you, and it gives you something, you know, it gives you impression or whatever. And to hear God, it takes some learning. It takes some spiritual intuitiveness. It takes some learning on the inside to hear God. And it's harder to hear God if you're predisposed or you're busy with your own mind and you are hooked onto some kind of feeling that you're struggling with. Some people can hear God better than other people. Some people can hear God better than other people, but God is always talking. And then you're always talking. Your spirit is busy. And if you have resentment in your heart, if you have hatred in your heart, and if you got you feel sorry for yourself, it's hard to hear God because your spirit is so busy. You know, your spirit needs to be developed, and you need to get sensitive in there. And it takes a while to learn to be sensitive to God and to learn how to be spiritual. We're all spirit beings. But some people are more spiritual than other people. Or spiritually minded, or more sensitive, or more aware of their spirit than their physical body. They're more aware of their spiritual situation than their physiology or their psychology. Amen. Shall I change my subject? So, that's the reality of it. And some people are not, not hearing when they should be hearing. And sometimes it's too late, you heard, but then it's too late. The time and opportunity has gone by. Sometimes you have an opportunity, the Bible talks about a door of opportunity. Sometimes the door of opportunity closes. How many people know the door of opportunity closes a certain time? If you don't have any children, if you're 6 years old, maybe naturally it's closed, but all things are possible. Right? Because we know that what happened to Sarah. Well, how old was she? 100? 99? And she had a baby at 99. So are you believing God for a baby? No. She's had her time with having babies. We were driving in, Hannah says, Dad, Grace has been with you since you started the church. You've been here for a long time, Grace. Let's give Grace a hand. She said to me, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, yeah, you go ahead. But I've never come to her to ask her to pray for me. I didn't say, Grace, I need you to start a new ministry and open that ministry and pray for me. But God put it on her heart. So, and that's her ministry. But so anyway, we need to understand that some people are just a little bit more sensitive than other people. And there's a reason why you don't become sensitive spiritually. You don't grow spiritually by osmosis or just coming to church. You don't grow spiritually because you sit in the pew and you lift up your hands on it. It takes some doing, takes some learning to be spiritual and to grow up spiritually. Our aim is to be like Jesus. That's the scripture that Ephesians talks about in there. Chapter 4 talks about our aim is to become like Jesus. Become Christ-like. People have said that. Become Christ-like. Our love and our ways. To believe like Jesus. To believe impossible things could happen. Amen? Thank God. This is all good preaching, Good preaching materials. You could take this home. So let's go back to our text again. I got off here. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplicating in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says, the next verse says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me. In other words, when you pray for pastor or anybody preaching, you pray that utterance will be given to them. In other words, they'll speak the way God wants to, whatever message he has for you. Like each one of you, if I could be preaching on something else, and you need wisdom for something, you need confirmation for something, you come to church and say, God, I need to hear from you. And no matter what I'm preaching about, God will talk to you. You have to believe that. And so, that I may open my mouth boldly. So sometimes, you know, ministers are afraid to speak God's word because people there are giving money and so on, or doing a lot of work in the ministry. They don't want to touch that subject because they might quit that ministry. Pray that I'll never be afraid of that. Pray that I'll just speak the word of God no matter what people do, you know, and no matter what they, how much they give here, or the time they give, or the skill they give, that you're going to continue, I'll continue to preach the word of God no matter what. Amen? So, to make known the mystery of the gospel, that's what we need to know. For which I am an ambassador in bones. You know, that's an ambassador is a representative. He represents heaven on earth. And we represent heaven. We represent God. We represent Jesus on earth. That therein I may speak boldly. There he goes again. That I ought, as I ought to speak. You know, some people ought to speak boldly, but they're not doing it. And some people ought to speak as they should be, but they're not. Because some pastors are hired. Hello. Some people are hired in their church, and that's why that's in there. Because if you don't speak what you need to speak, you get fired. So you have to find another job. Praise God. Quiet. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, and 5, chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. So having said, you know, Ephesians 6, 18, we're saying that prayer, the thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving is one kind of prayer. And there are reasons for thanksgiving. There is the reasons for when God tells you to praise him. You know, how many people understand this? I want you to know that God wants you to praise him. Amen. It's not an option for you to stand in church like this. You know? It's not an option. God wants you. Now, granted, listen, you know, if you're just coming, you're brand new to this, okay, we'll give you some break there. Okay? But after an hour and a half, no, after you've been here for a while, it's different. You know, okay, so listen, if you're watching, we don't attack you. It's just that, you know, I didn't understand that. So when I went to the Pentecostal church, I grew up in a Catholic church. We never lift hands. And we never said a word out loud in church. Unless you're talking to your kids. You know, so when we're in church, so when I went to the full gospel churches, and I began to start praising God, and everybody there is praising God, and some Pentecostal churches, and I would go, and I would just wonder, I'd just be amazed looking at everybody. And I was just watching everybody. I mean, I was amazed, and I just was taken back just by the physical, everything going on there. And so one day, I began to just lift my hands up too, because I didn't know what they were doing. I said, I better lift my hands up too, because I stand out like a sore thumb. So I began to lift my hands up. And after a couple of years, I wondered, why am I doing this? You know, so I had to ask. So later on, we ask ourselves questions of why we do certain things. So praise, when God says to praise me, and the Bible commands us to praise him, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for us to be thankful today, because it's not because of Thanksgiving weekend, but because God wants you to be thankful all the time. And there's a reason for that. You know, you don't want to be grieving all your life. And so we need to break out of it. So here's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and verse 18. God says, just be thankful once in a while. Just be thankful if you feel good about it. Well, that's what people read. Just be thankful if everything's okay. Listen to me. That's what I said. Praise is the highest kind of faith. That's why it says in other scriptures to be thankful. To offer, I think it's Hebrews 13, 15 or 15, 13. He says to offer the sacrifice of praise. And he explains what that is. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, and lift your hand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, hallelujah. See, that's what God wants us to do. There's something supernatural happens when you do it from your heart. Sometimes, you know, you start off in the natural. You start off in the natural. You do it because you're trying it out. But something happens in the spiritual realm. Something happens. Something happens in your spirit and in your heart and over your atmosphere of your house and your home. Supernatural. As you praise God, angels go to work. They start getting busy, getting your answers for you. Closing doors that need to be closed. Angels start going to work as you praise God. Angels start bringing healing to you, praise God. They start doing things for you. They start bringing money to you. They start opening doors for your children. They start doing things for you. Praise. And when you're praising God, you need to see the doors going down. Or the doors going down. The walls falling down. And when you begin to complain, these things start, walls start building up. Hallelujah. Thank God. We need to learn how to thank God. Okay, let's go back to this verse of Scripture, my second verse of Scripture. Always be joyful. There's no Blue Monday. It's Thanksgiving, and thank God, thank God it's not Monday tomorrow, work day. But you could take your Blue Monday off tomorrow. Amen. Always be thankful and never stop praying. Or you could say this, never stop praising. Never stop praising. Because praise is prayer too. Because you're communicating with God. You're telling God that you appreciate him, that you love him. You're telling God, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for that I'm born again and blessings are on my way, coming my way. Amen? Thank God for it. Woo. Be thankful in all circumstances. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, or God's will for you who belong to Christ. So God wants us to be thankful all the time, in every season of your life. No matter what is going on in your life right now, it's time to be grateful. Praise God. Amen. It's time to start praising God. Everybody stand up for a second. Everybody stand up for a second. Start praising God right now. Come on. Oh, we praise you. Make a joyful noise to the Lord if you can't praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you that we're grateful for being a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, it's good to you. You'll feel good if you start doing it. Oh, hallelujah. Start yelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, sit down. Don't get too wild. This is an opportunity for all you extroverts. I always give a chance for extroverts to start praising, and introverts, they'll get in as well. No matter if you're an introvert or extrovert, the Scripture belongs to you. Amen? You say, well, I'm not that expressive, that's not my personality. Amen? I have people say stuff like that, if I praise God has to be really moving in my life. No, listen, you're just disobedient. Amen. Praise God. I'm I got to preach boldly. I can't be afraid of you. I have to preach to everybody the same thing. Amen. you be grateful you have a pastor like this that can tell you things and be a dad to you instead of being a little wimp. Amen. To tell you stuff when you need to hear something. Amen. But that's why I don't really, you know, people say to me, you know, when they have problems in the ministry, like, I don't ever go to other department and just straighten everybody out. I don't do that. I let them straighten each other out. And they should fix it up. And usually if it's in my office, then you're in big trouble. You're in big, big trouble. You ever see that little, video that's going around on the internet or the, you know, on the YouTube? It's about these two little boys, they painted themselves all up. You ever see that video? Okay, well, I got to send everybody, I'm going to send it to you. I watch it all the time when I want to laugh. Two boys painted each other up, one little guy, one smaller. There must have been about, how old would they be? 2 years old, 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old. And the dad comes in and they find these two boys all painted up. And then he tells that boy, well, you guys, what happened? And that little boy, his little brother is sitting back and they're both sitting down. He goes, blaming the little guy. He says, whose idea was it? He says, this guy over there. What happened? He said, little brother made the stairs, daddy. Well, who's the big brother? And you guys are in big trouble. He goes on and on, maybe 5 minutes like that. You know? And the little guy, you know, he's getting blamed for everything. So everybody after goes, painted brothers, boys with the paint. It's funny. It's so cute. But it's the whole story about what happens. And the thing about it, the dad says, you know, should I give you guys, you know, send you to bed? You're not going to get any juice. What kind of punishment is not having juice? Huh? He said, yeah, should I give you any more juice? Go to bed? He said, well, I'll skip the juice, let dad. I'll take some water tonight. Anyway. So praise is one kind of prayer we need to know. And what praise will do for you and what thanksgiving will do for you. Having a thankful heart. Someone said, as we mentioned, it's the highest kind of faith. It takes the highest kind of faith to give God praise, worship, and thanksgiving when you cannot see your answer, or you feel your answer, or touch your answer. It takes faith to do it. It takes faith to praise God. That's why you have to know those scriptures, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things you don't have yet. It takes faith to do it. Faith is the evidence. Somebody said, you know, they found these artifacts about that certain people lived in certain places, and they find all these things that evidence that these people were there before, or that there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Actually, there was one, or a number of them at one time. So they found these things, and they can create these things that these things lived before. So they found these artifacts or whatever it is, bones and so on, and they can recreate this animal. And so they have this, they create this thing. It's an evidence that this thing is there. You didn't see with your eyes that there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but you know from the bones and all that, the artifacts, that they existed before. How many of you have seen a Tyrannosaurus Rex? One guy. Nurse, talk to this one right now. No, she's not a medical psychiatric nurse, but she'll help you. Listen. Anyway, I'm just kidding, brother. Yeah, you know, I love you. I joke with you all the time. But anyway, see, here's something happens right here. Faith does the same thing. Or the Word of God does the same thing. Faith, the Word of God is your evidence that something is real when it's not there yet in your body. So we've seen, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the skeleton, right? But, there was real ones before. So when you're praising God, because of the evidence. Because you're thanking God, because the evidence is there. It's yours. It's coming to you. It's going to be there for you. They believe God for whatever it is. And that's the hard thing to do, especially if you live inside your soul all the time. You're stuck in your soul. You never venture to your spirit and allow your spirit to take authority or take the lead in your life. Some people just live for their physical bodies. They live for their pleasures only. Just live, you know, to one thing to another. Let's go. What can we do next? How can we get excited next? What we can eat next? What can we entertain ourselves with next? Just all the physical, you know, everything's physical. And their soul, maybe they're trapped in their soul. Maybe their soul is developed wrong. Maybe they're full of hatred and anger and self-pity and self-centeredness, and they're sort of directed by that. But our spirit needs to be full of God's Word so that we take our first place by acting on the Word of God. Amen. That's why we have to fill our spirit. And the moment, trouble hits your life, if it's a crisis, physical crisis, life crisis, whatever it is, the first thing that comes out of your mouth, your first reaction is what you've been hiding in your spirit. What you've been building your spirit on, what your foundation is in your heart. So you need to be able to build your spirit, man, so that when the first reaction comes is, you know, I know I have a problem, but thank God, I have an answer. Amen. I have an answer. And so I want to tell you something. I've developed to be that place today. I've never had that before. Whenever I get into trouble, I don't listen to what I feel like. I always tell myself, and I learned this from somebody that I admired very much. He says, the first thing happens to you when you have a crisis is you ask yourself, what does God's Word say about the situation? What do you say about it? Well, He supplies all my needs. God supplies all my needs. When the money has gone down and there's the bank accounts, you know, have been drained away, you say, thank God, He supplies all my needs. One person, two people, got it. I mean, you know, and if you're sick, the doctor says, you know, you're going to die. And you know, Psalm 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy Him, show Him my salvation. 118, Psalm 17 verse says, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you react to it. Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, my diseases, with Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And you react. That's what's coming out of your spirit instead of, say, complaining. This always happens to me. Thank you, Lord. Praising God in a time of trouble. We have to learn to praise God, in a time of great stress or trial. The Apostle Paul understood this. And what the psalmist said in Psalm 34, 1 and 2, when the psalmist says, I'll praise the Lord at all times. I'll praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, as a nation, whether we're Christians or not, whether you're professing born-again Christian, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we are celebrating Thanksgiving Monday. And the rest of the people can thank Jesus that they have a day off and get paid for it. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I lost my you know. So, you know, don't get too loud. Is that necessary? Yeah. Praise God. I clear my throat. Psalm 34:19. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions. The word affliction doesn't mean sicknesses and diseases. It means trials and troubles, hardships. Everybody say hardships. So in other words, you know, you're gonna run through hardships, and don't be surprised when you got trouble. Don't be surprised that you're going to run out of money before the time you need all the money. You know, just say thank God. Act like you know everything. Act like you got it. Hallelujah. Jerry, are you doing okay? Appreciate you, Jerry. You're coming to school this year, right? Thank God for it. Acts 16. Here's an example. Acts 16, 25. We're reading from Paul and Silas understood that praising God through a hard time or a stressful time, he knew about this because Paul was a man of the Bible. He studied the Word of God. He had the Old Testament. He studied the prophets and the major and minor prophets. He studied the history of his people, and he understood certain things about God. So he understood about praising God when he was in the jail. He had that built inside of him. He said here, you know, even though they were going through a hard time serving God, when they still encountered a great trial of affliction, even though they were in the will of God, Paul was in the will of God, but he encountered opposition. I want to tell you something. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your troubles are over. It means maybe some of them will begin to start, some new areas you never had before. Because you're going to get opposition because now that you're a Christian and you want to walk the right walk out rightly, the devils are going to be there and push you back and put pressure on you. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. So because you have to resist the devil. You have to resist the enemy because now he's trying to push you out of the place where God wants you to push you into what he wants you to do. And he doesn't want you. That's why it says, count it all joy. And James 1 and 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith, the devil will test you, not God, the devil will test you on whatever you believe. He'll test you if you believe in going to church, you believe you trust you about, you know, whether you should give money or serve in the ministry or, you know, whatever it is. You know, people, you know, they go to serve in church and somebody hurts them or somebody said something to them. They have a fight or something happens. So they quit church. That's exactly what the devil wants. You know what? There's no church good. I have had people told me there's no churches in the city. There's not even a pastor in the city. I mean, you mean God that stupid that he didn't put one pastor in the city? God makes available churches and pastors. God is not as dumb as he is, because God will put somebody there to help train people. And you know, think about it, that you know, a pastor doesn't have to be 60 years old before his ministry starts. He could be 35 years old or 33 like Jesus. And he could have, the Holy Spirit who's lived eons of years. The Holy Spirit is there and helping him, giving him wisdom coming out from God. Because I remember, you know, someone told me, and maybe I'm still offended of it. Because I'm 31 years old and they're 56 or something. And I'm doing some counseling. They said, who do you think you are? You know, you're just a young punk. It hurt me so badly. I went home and told my wife, I'm quitting the ministry. I remember my brother used to do that all day. And that's what spiritually some people do when they don't get things their way. Right? Jerry inside the spirit is doing. I laugh at that. I think about it in my own life because I think of how silly I am. I told someone one time, when I first became in ministry, we were looking for a building. We didn't have a building. And I went over on Cumberland Street. They were selling this old Lions Club building. Remember the Lions Club building beside the, what is that building called? Dairy Queen. Well, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Cumberland Street. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit on you. Spit comes flying out and everything else. Whoa, she gets healed. But then I went to that building. I looked at that building. You know, the side is just like this is big as this thing here. You know, for worship. And I was so unhappy. I didn't get that. And then get that building. I cried. You know. Sometimes we cry about things. Somebody said we cry about things that we're going to laugh about tomorrow. And you look back at it, yeah. And you laugh at it now. It doesn't seem as hard now. And so a lot of times we do. One time when my wife and I went to buy a car, and I wanted this nice big red sports car. And she said, no, we can't have that. We're not going to buy that car. But I said, you know, somehow I'm going to sneak away from her and go to that guy and talk him down the price a little bit. He said, this is the only car, this is the only one I get in Thunder Bay. This is going to go. There's six people going to buy it. Now, if I'm older, I said, yeah, go ahead and let them buy it, and I'll find something else. And so after that, I'm grateful I didn't buy that car. So some of you men need to listen to your wife. You wouldn't be in such a big trouble. Amen. So let's go to the scripture verse. We got about 7 minutes. Apostle, the Acts of the Apostles, 16:16. One day, this is the NLT. One day, read your story. Now relax. We'll read your story. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men, okay, yeah. These men are the servants of the Most High God." And they tell us, they have something to tell us. They went on that day after that. This went on day after that. Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And instantly he had left her. Her master's hopes were of wealth was now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas, dragged them before the authorities in the marketplace. The whole city in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials. They were teaching customs. The city officials ordered them and stripped them, beaten them with wood rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer ordered them ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon, clamped their hands and feet in stock. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God.
Wow.
Other prisoners were listening, doing the jive. They're listening to the band. Other prisoners, I like this music. It was great. Paul, Silas, they're like the Beatles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? Yeah, they must have been pretty good, eh? Everybody's laughing. They're just, woo, it's wonderful. Woo, suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. And every the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners all escaped. So he drew out his sword to kill himself. And Paul shouted to him, Don't stop. Don't kill yourself. We are here. The jailer called for the lights and ran into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved along with everyone in your household." They shared the word of God with him and all who lived in the household. Even at the hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized, brought them to the house and set a meal before them. His entire household rejoiced. Now, you know, this situation is not a time to praise God, but they praise God. Something happens when you praise God. A number of things happen. Let me just jump over here I want to give you why we should praise God. I got to get to my notes here. Hang on, everybody. So, I've got a lot of scriptures that we won't go to. Thank God for his goodness. Now, We'll learn that next time. Praising God is important. How many people know it's so important to praise God? Something happens, you know, when we praise God in our lives. You know, what happens when you start praising God? When you start praising God, when you truly praise God, something happens to you, yourself, your person. Something happens to you on the inside of you, your spirit, your body. Everything happens. Something happens inside you. But if something also happens, you know, in the realm of your life spiritually, the Bible says that we are kings and priests in our own lives. You know, Romans 5:17 says that you're a king and a priest. Revelation says that, but also that we rule and reign. Ruling and reigning is for kings. And the other scriptures bear this out, that you're a king in your own life. You're a queen in your own life. That means you have authority in your own life, and whatever you say in your praises will happen in your life. Because, whatever you praise, when you're praising, if you practice praising all the time, when you speak the word of God like that, what happens? Your mind changes. You start to straighten out your mind when you begin to praise God. The chains of darkness begin to break, fall away. Demons begin to tremble and melt away because of the power of God. Like, just like that prison was shaken, every enemy will be shaken from your life. And scriptures bear it as well. We don't have time to go all those scriptures, but scriptures tells us that when you praise God, it melts like the demons or demonic forces melt like wax before him. Blown away just like the winds. And when we praise God, this is what happens when you praise God. If you're depressed, if you learn to praise God, you know, oppression will leave you. Oppression, you will not feel oppressed anymore. That's the key in our lives. If we begin to obey God, God's word will not lie. You begin to renew your mind as you worship, as you thank God. If you're thankful, you renew your mind with his word. Your mind begins to be changed. Have a different perspective about things. You see God in a new light. Everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you tonight this morning, excuse me. Where am I? You mean to say we've been here all night? All day? We're going to take communion. Woo-hoo-hoo! The first church I ever preached at was happy about communion. Multiplying everything. Come on, boys. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. We're taking communion, and this is an ordinance that we need to practice. This is not just to, you know, it's part of the closing ceremony. Amen. They're doing the communion now. It's closing time. Now this is an ordinance that Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. Jesus told Paul to tell the church this is what we have to do. And so this marks a distinction in our lives about the blessing of God coming to us. About the fact that Jesus shed his blood, consummated the covenant, or at least shed blood, made legal for you to be blessed forever. And so this blood reminds us that we have a covenant. You know what a covenant? What a covenant is? You come to school, we teach about this. The covenant means that God will never break his promise. A covenant means that whatever belongs to him, are you listening? Belongs to you. And whatever belongs to you, belongs to him. And your enemies are his enemies. And God says, whoever comes against you, I will have to deal with him. That means if sickness comes to you, then Jesus said, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to make sickness go. We have to understand covenant. We got to understand covenant. Kids are coming in. We're going to wait for them. Hallelujah. Children, come on in. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take the wafer representing the body of Jesus. This was broken for you. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns on his head. For every sickness and every disease, he suffered for us. Now take the wafer and remember what Jesus' body, his suffering, what it did for you. Everybody bow your head for a second. Don't take anything yet. If you eat it, you're in disobedience. Hang on a second. Bow your head for a second and think about this right now. Think about what Jesus did for you. I want you to be grateful for that. And thank God that his body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. Like, just thank God for that right now. Let's go ahead and take it. Thank you, Lord. And let's take. This is not wine for those that are watching. This is juice. And so let's drink this juice. Thank you for his shed blood. Thank you, Lord. You can play with one hand. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a few moments to thank God. Now, you might not have all the answers right now, but I want you to thank God in advance. Thank God in advance for whatever you're asking God for. If you're believing God for something, I want you to thank him in advance. It's the highest form of faith to praise God. Everybody lift your hands and start thanking God. Start giving him praise. Father, we praise you. We lift our hands to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving me a brand new life, for delivering me, for giving me answers to all my issues. No matter what I face, I'm going to overcome it. No matter what obstacle is there, no matter what hardships, I'm coming out of it. No matter what my family faces, we're going to overcome this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No matter, this sickness has to go in my body. It has to change. It has to turn around in the name of Jesus. Whoever is against you, the Bible says, will fall away. They'll not come against you anymore. Thank you. Every circumstance against you is going to change as you praise him. Thank God that the situation is changing right now. Angels are gone forth and causing changes to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, thank God. Say, I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. This Thanksgiving is different than all other Thanksgivings. It's going to be a mark. This is a new day for me. Things are changing. Things have changed already. I praise God for my healing, for all the promises, and all the money I'm getting, and all the friends I'm getting. The oppression is gone. Oppression is gone. The sickness is gone. My kids are coming home. My wife is coming home. My child is coming home. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Woo. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Well, go ahead and be blessed. Shake a few hands as you leave here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you're watching by live stream, I want to let you know that we love you here at Faith City Church. God is right there wherever you are. And if you would invite Jesus in your life right now, recognize this, that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. None of us could. None of your good works will get you to heaven. Jesus made a way for you. If you pray this prayer right now, say, Jesus, come in my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. I thank you today that I am born again because I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you. I have a brand new life. I will live out that life with your help. and your mercy. Thank God in Jesus' name. Let us know if this has been a first time for you. We want to help you and send you some material to help you address your spiritual situations. In Jesus' name, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lord.